Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And we thought today wouldn't be a football Friday, Chris Canty. But unfortunately, it's Knobservations and Football Friday all wrapped up into one to start the show. So we go around and we say pleasantries to each other. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
Good morning, Dave Rothenberg. Dave, tell me, what are the odds that you could have two cornerbacks in the same draft within a calendar year both be involved with gun violence?
Very little, and not only both involved, but on completely different ends of the spectrum, right? One guy, wrong place, wrong time. Another guy, still at large as we open the show this morning.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing about DeAndre Baker in terms of wrong place, wrong time, because what the hell are you doing at a party when we're in the middle of the pandemic, and why do you feel like you need to have a gun at said party?
Well, it sounds like two parties. It wasn't just one party. They lost the money in the original party and then had to go back. They
decided
go to another party on a different day and get the money back. Get the money back and have the getaway cars. Hey, Dave, look at it this way. I mean, you try to draft a lockdown corner, and I mean, you just missed. You got a locked up corner.
Yeah.
So he was playing for the mean machine, longest yard.
This cannot be great for Dave Gettleman's batting average.
Batting average. I mean, this, don't you look at this, if things go badly, that this will be like the straw that breaks this whole thing? He moved up to take a corner that, mind you, this is not all of a sudden there's issues. There were multiple teams that wanted no part of DeAndre Baker because there were red flags surrounding him last draft. And now he's involved in this. And mind you, still hasn't even turned himself in. I mean, the story broke last night and he's still, I guess fair to say, at large right now down in Florida.
Yeah, it's still a bad look. It's probably not as bad as Quentin Dunbar's, who actually did a press conference with the local media via Zoom yesterday morning, and it had the warrant by the Miramar Police Department issued yesterday afternoon. So, I mean, he said he wanted to feel like he was wanted, and I guess he got his wish, because now them boys is looking after him. They're trying to get him back to the precinct to answer some questions about what went down the last couple of days. But, I mean, this is just... I just don't understand what these guys were thinking, putting themselves in that situation and then doing what they did, brandishing a firearm and threatening people, DeAndre Baker ordering to shoot somebody if they walk into the party. Like, it's just unbelievable that you got a guy that's in the NFL, first-round draft pick, signed a $10 million contract with a $5 million signing bonus that's going to jeopardize his entire career for what? A few bucks and some watches. I try to defend these athletes, man, but this is something that's indefensible. This is absolutely ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. It really is. And I feel bad for Joe Judge, because this isn't even his guy. Now he's got to deal with this guy, and God knows what's going to happen. I'm sure what do you mean he doesn't?
No, he's not going to deal with him.
No, he's not going to be on the
team.
He's not going to be on the team.
No, this is it. No, they're going to cut him.
Yeah, he's done.
You just think that's it?
He's just.
DeAndre Baker will not put on a Giants uniform again.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, this is all allegedly, but if this is true and what he's facing, he's done. He's not going to be. You will never see him in a Giants uniform again.
Will you see him in the NFL again? Is the question.
That's a possibility.
Depends on what happens.
It's a possibility. We don't know. I don't think we have enough information, but based on what we do have, and based on the fact that the police department did issue an arrest warrant, there is enough evidence to show wrongdoing, questionable judgment, and all of those things on DeAndre Baker's part. Like, there's no reason that he should be threatening people at a party with a gun. Like, you can stop right there. That's enough for a team to decide to part company with you, especially a team that's trying to shift the culture like the New York Giants.
Right. Some culture shift you have going on right now. I mean, this is awful for Dave Gettleman. And we'll talk to Renan. He'll join us at 10:30 this morning. There were rumors rumbling around this guy at the draft last year that he's not a good guy, and teams wanted no part of him.
Yeah, it was being reported. And that's what, I mean, I think at the time, too, when we talked about this, and, I mean, the idea that the Giants traded back up and Gettleman saying they got the best corner in the draft, I mean, his whole spiel lately has been, you know, we need to change the culture inside that locker room. And then when, I mean, even leading into the draft, you're reading, you know, scouting reports, you know, you're listening to NFL Network. I mean, some of the reports about DeAndre Baker didn't scream great for the locker room. I mean, not taking the combine seriously, entitled, I mean, you name it. And then you hear what, I mean, Jordan will talk about it, but I mean, this is something we asked him on numerous occasions because DeAndre Baker was that bad last season, you know, talking about, you know, falling asleep in meetings.
Right. Like, and it, apparently it hasn't shown up for a virtual meeting yet this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a carryover from what you heard, you know, that he was dealing with or the kind of guy he was at Georgia. So it was just more of the same. Like, they just expected it would change, and obviously it didn't.
Yeah, Dave, the virtual meetings didn't fit in his social calendar. He's got too many day parties and cookouts to go to, apparently.
And we can joke about it because no one was hurt. I mean, I can't believe that we're talking about this on a Friday, but it did. I mean, it happened. I mean, the thought at this point, under the current circumstances, that this is something, I mean, going into your second year, that would ever cross your mind. Like, you lost the 70 grand playing cards. It's over. It's done. That you would now, you know, decide, this is two NFL players, that it was going to be a good idea to go back with guns and steal the money back and then have the three getaway cars waiting.
It's unbelievable. No, it's awful. And I mean, if you read the stories, he told one of the guys with guns to shoot someone.
Shouldn't have put himself in that position in the first place, Dave. He shouldn't have been at the first party where he lost the money. He shouldn't have went back to try to get the money by force if necessary. That's absolutely ridiculous. Just take the L. So many times we talk about it, man, just take the L. You have too much to lose as an athlete. You're in too good of a position. You're living a lot of people's dreams. You are a first-round draft pick for one of the flagship franchises in the NFL. Like, why would you jeopardize your entire career, your livelihood, something that you worked your entire life to have the opportunity to do? Why would you jeopardize that over an amount of money that's meaningless, essentially, Dave? I mean, what, you know, a couple thousand dollars? You're talking about $60,000-$70,000? How is your career worth that amount of money?
I don't think he thinks it through.
It just,
well, that's part of the problem. I mean, but that's part of the problem. I mean, you say what you want. I mean, what you saw on the football field, I mean, that's, I mean, it wasn't great. And then all of a sudden to have the stories come out about him falling asleep in meetings and then to see this. I mean, for me, what's the end game? You lost the 70. Well, what's to be gained by going back with guns?
Well, he probably thinks, right, in his mind, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm an athlete. I'm untouchable. I'll go in there. I'll get my money back and, you know, I'll wash my hands of it. It'll all be done.
There's no way
he just committed armed robbery.
Dave, there's no way he can think that, man. I hear what you're saying, but there's no way he can believe that.
Then
because
what do you think his thought
process? Because as a
professional
athlete, you understand you got the most to lose in any room you walk in.
But Chris, how can you explain his thought process of going into a party with a ski mask and a weapon and demanding money from these people with getaway cars waiting?
Dave, I don't think he put a lot of thought into it at all. I think this is just one of those things where he said, you know what, it's the principle of the matter. I'm not going to let nobody take advantage of me, and this is what I'm going to do. He didn't think this thing through. He didn't think about what's going to happen once they got away with everything that they came to get. Clearly, this is not something that they expected to happen for a police department to issue arrest warrants and to have to negotiate your surrender. He wasn't thinking he had to do that. He wasn't thinking that that would be a part of what he went through when he went to that party. So, yeah, this is one of those things where he was mindless, and now he's going to have to pay for it with his career.
Potentially, yeah.
No, not potentially.
Yeah, that's,
I don't think
his career is going to be completely derailed. Even if he comes back to play in the NFL, it'll never be like it's set up for him right now before this incident happened.
No, certainly financially it won't be. And if he comes back at all.
I mean, here's the problem, too.
He had a $10 million contract.
Yes, yes, which he's willing to, I mean, which obviously he was willing to risk over what they end up getting, which is, you know, about $12,000 in cash and four watches. That's what doesn't make any sense to me. You lost the 70, but I mean, as far as what you could lose long term, I mean, because this is going to, I mean, it's bound. Are you going to go into.
But they're going to get all that bonus money back. That bonus money is coming back. The contract is going to be null and void. Like, this is one of those things where you violate the personal conduct policy of the NFL. They can recoup the bonus money that they've already paid out.
I mean, how can you just sit there and do the math? Like, you're talking about two NFL players, right? Two NFL players. DeAndre Baker was set up to probably, I mean, again, if he had, you know, a good camp, whatever camp looks like, to be a starting a starting corner.
That was the plan, of course.
That was the plan, right? You're a first-round pick. You're going to get every opportunity to be the starting corner. And then you have his cohort, Quentin Dunbar, who just gets traded, right? I mean, as you sit there talking about, okay, we just lost 70 grand. You're upset. I get it. It's 70 grand. But how does that math add up to you? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get these guns. We're going to go over to this, you know, 2 days later, we're going to go over to this party. We're going to rob them of everything they have. And then we're going to have the Mercedes, the BMW, and the Lamborghini outside waiting so we can take off. In case we, just in case we get into a high-speed chase, we have the horsepower to all run whoever's chasing.
Thank God that didn't happen. Thank God we didn't add that on.
I mean, what are we doing? This is real life, man. This is not, I mean, you're not filming a movie. You're not a character.
This ain't Grand Theft Auto.
And Furious. No, I'm just going to go hit the streets quick. I mean, this isn't Vince Vaughn in The Breakup. I'm going to go hit the streets. I mean, this is real life. I mean, you're sitting there ordering, you know, one of your accomplices to shoot a person if they act up. I mean, what are we doing here?
It's unbelievable.
No, this is bad.
But
man.
That's why character is a big part of the evaluation in the pre-draft process, guys.
But their concerns were about this guy. That's the thing. It's not like all of a sudden it was an angel who's acted like we've never seen before. I mean, every scouting report you read about DeAndre Baker was, you know what? This is a worry. This kind of stuff is a concern with him. And then the Giants move up and take him. And then we got the best cornerback in the draft. He's loud. I mean, not one thing about this guy has panned out. He was lousy as a rookie. He was not a good teammate from all reports. He doesn't show up for meetings. He doesn't show up for the virtual meetings. And now this?
Yeah, it's all bad, Dave. I mean, there were concerns about his overall character, but also his sports character coming out of Georgia. I mean, one of the things that we said about him in the draft process, he's probably the best man-to-man cover corner, but we don't know how great he is within coverage schemes. We don't know how great he is in zone. We don't know any of those things. And on top of that, he's not a guy that's focused in the classroom. He's not a guy that works hard to improve his overall craft. But then on top of that, you had the character issues away from the field about the guy that's getting into trouble. Not necessarily about the right things when he's outside of the overall structure of the program. And all of those things that we heard about from DeAndre Baker in Georgia are things that we've seen from DeAndre Baker in a Giants uniform. And at this point, as an organization, I guess you have to do your due diligence over the weekend, you know, the next 48 to 72 hours and see what happens. But I think you have enough information to make the decision that DeAndre Baker should not be a part of what the New York Giants are trying to build moving forward.
Yeah, this is probably one of those instances where DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar wish that there were actually OTAs to be at to keep themselves out of this kind of trouble. I mean, Dave, you gave up 3 picks to trade back up and get DeAndre Baker.
Oh, I know. I mean, he's the big loser here, and number 2 is Dave Gettleman. I mean, you're Gettleman. You look ridiculous today. You gave up 3 picks to move up. It's a first-round pick. He was awful, and now he might not be here? It's like throwing it away.
Yeah, but I would eliminate the might. I mean, they can get back the money. He's not going to be a New York Giant. That's it. They're not might. He's not going to, DeAndre Baker will not be a New York Giant.
I agree with that.
This is an awful look.
Yeah. By the time we get to week 1 of the regular season, DeAndre Baker won't be on the team.
Great. I mean, you're Gettleman, you look foolish. You look ridiculous. There's a guy fighting for his job. He had 3 first-round picks last year. One of them might not be on the team anymore because of his own stupidity?
Yeah, Dave. I mean, that's what we're looking at right now. And if you're Dave Gettleman, this is probably one of the worst possible headlines that you could have had this entire offseason. And so, we heard about DeAndre Baker last year not being focused and how there's going to be a lot of pressure coming into this season. A lot of eyes are going to be on him. It's going to be a higher degree of scrutiny because the expectations are going to be a lot higher. And then he goes and does something like this. Looking at it from the Giants' perspective, I don't understand as an organization how you could justify trying to bring him back and allowing him to continue to be a member of this team. I just don't see it.
Well, especially when you had Chris. Did you see the post? Did you see the post article today?
Yeah.
Some of the quotes in the post. You see what Tony Pauline said when he was down at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah.
He was actually talking to people from the Giants at the Senior Bowl, and they didn't tell me he was a bad guy, but they did say he's dumb as dirt. He struggled taking instruction and coaching. He basically likes to do it his own way.
Great. So what you're saying is this is an unbelievable athlete, and we're hoping that it translates to the NFL. And if it doesn't, there's really no room for improvement because he's just not capable of it or doesn't want to.
Well, Dave, we were talking about this when the Giants drafted him, though. We said that, you know, this is one of those high-risk, high-reward type of dudes, and you got to make sure that you're introducing him into the right locker room so he has leadership, so he does the right things. The Giants don't have any leadership structure in that locker room. It's the blind leading the blind. And you're in that position because the general managers, and I'm not just going to put it all on Dave Gettleman, a lot of this is on Jerry Reese, they didn't draft well. And so they weren't able to have continuity with the championship culture that they had in place from the 2007 and 2011 teams. So because you had that interruption, because you had to rely on free agents who are essentially mercenaries coming from other places, you weren't able to build a sustainable winning culture. So that means that you weren't in position as an organization to take this kind of a risk. Because when you bring in a questionable character guy and you put him in a shaky locker room, you get incidents like this happening. It's unfortunate, and I feel for DeAndre Baker, but you got to be accountable. And unfortunately, it feels like it's going to cost him his career with the New York Giants.
And a whole lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and maybe it's freedom. And maybe
yeah,
it's freedom.
Yeah. And future earnings. And again, I mean, as a Jets fan, I'm going to have to deal with the shrapnel now because all of a sudden, I mean, they have a need. And who knows previous relationship if Logan Ryan doesn't end up on the Giants instead of the Jets now.
Well, we already got your backup right quarterback in Colt McCoy. I guess that would be fitting.
Great. Perfect. Awesome.
Hey. You made a commitment. You made a promise. You were not going to be Mr. Negative when it came to the Jets.
I'm not being negative about the Jets. I'm just saying that not only you as a Giants fan are going to have to deal with this, I wouldn't be surprised if, as a Jets fan, I'm going to have to deal with the shrapnel now because instead of getting Logan Ryan, he may end up with the Giants instead.
But if you're the Jets, why would you even float it out there to Manish that this is already a done deal and Logan Ryan's going to be on your team? It's just a matter of putting pen to paper. Like Logan Ryan said, I know this is a sidebar, guys, but Logan Ryan said, yeah, I'm interested, but I'm still open for business. It's ridiculous. If you're going to sign a guy, you might want to make sure that the guy is committed to signing with you before you announce it.
That wouldn't be the first time it happened. I mean, again, different GM, but it wouldn't be the first time that it happened.
Ridiculous is what it is. But I digress.
This is not beat up on the Jets. This is beat up on the Giants.
No, we're not beating up on the Jets. It's the reality. I mean, Logan Ryan, I mean, again, you connect the dots. He's from the area. He went to Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has a relationship, a previous relationship with Joe Judge. There's a need there. So now, I mean, that's who knows what happens.
No, on top of that, Logan Ryan would be the kind of guy that Joe Judge would want to help him build his program and establish his culture.
Exactly right.
And like this is the reason why you would pick up the phone and call a guy like Logan Ryan, because clearly you need leadership, especially on the back end of your defense.
It's screaming that you need leadership after last night, right? Oh, my God. I mean, you can't make
No, you're stuff. Laughing to keep from crying, Dave. I know how you feel.
I'm throwing the lacrosse ball to Alex in the basement. I start getting texts. I'm like, oh, I wonder what these are about. He's like, did you see the story? And then I start to read about it. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Just don't even understand what the hell you're doing at a party in the first place.
Certainly with a weapon. Rob people.
Well, first of all, if you feel like you got to take a gun somewhere, then you probably need to question whether or not you need to be going to that place. That's the first thing. But secondly, why are you putting yourself in this position knowing that there is a global pandemic going on? To hell with what the governor of Florida is saying about how they're going to reopen businesses and they're going to do things in terms of trying to attract other pro sports teams. You're a professional athlete. You got to protect your interests. When you go to those parties, those types of situations, your interests are not aligned with the interests of everybody going to those places. Why are you even there?
But Chris, he allegedly went to a party and robbed it with a weapon and a getaway car. You think social distancing is something that he's concerned about? Clearly, he's not like you and I and Rick happen or anybody else happens to be.
No, Dave, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I just think that these are some of the things that should be, you know, factored in when you're deciding what you're going to do. I mean, if you're a professional athlete, even though you're not at the team's facility, you are responsible for getting ready for the upcoming season. And I'm sorry, with the pandemic that's going on, you're probably better off staying to yourself and keeping your family and your loved ones close. If you want to be around them, that's one thing. But going to a party, going to an environment that you don't control, you're just putting yourself at so much risk. I just don't understand why you would do that based on where we're at right now as a country. That part doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's too bad he didn't put as much preparation into the playbook as he did this plan.
Right. I mean, the getaway car is more preparation than he had with the Giants.
For the entire season.
Right.
Yeah, and it wasn't one party. I mean, he went to the first party, lost his money, and then decided 2 days later he needed to go back. I mean, he was going to go rob the party. This wasn't, I need to bring a gun because I'm afraid for my safety.
No, this is a premeditated, I want to get my money back.
No, Rick, what I was saying was, why did he go to the first party in the first place? That's my point. I don't understand that. That doesn't make
sense. Apparently. Well, I mean, apparently he put the play cards
game
and everything else. Apparently not very well.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. All right, let's get to the phones. People are lined up. They want to talk about the Giants and the dysfunction. 800-919-3776. Eric in Queens, lead us off on a Friday. You're on 98.7.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're okay, Eric.
Yeah, I have a question. Why do these athletes, love the media? Because every time you turn around, these people are off on their off season. They go and do something bad to get themselves in trouble. This guy right here, he should have known better. What the world are you doing at a party trying to get yourself in trouble that's going to make it bad for your career? I don't get it. I really don't get it. Help me out with this. Why do they put themselves in this situation? What's the point?
I don't think there
is
a point.
That's what I have to say.
Because they don't think. Just because they're great athletes and they're, blessed with, physical gifts and everything else doesn't mean that they're the smartest people or they make the best decisions. I mean, this
and
kid
some
had
athletes think they're above the law, too. That's a part of it.
I think that's
sure
part of the mindset.
Of that factored in.
Yeah, I think that's part of the mindset. I mean, how many times have we talked about this with, players returning, to play now with the fear of COVID-19? Like, there are some guys that say, you know what? It won't affect me. Like, if I get it, I'll get through it. That's just the mind. Like, this is there's a thought with a lot of athletes that, they can overcome any obstacle. And there's, for a lot of them, that's sometimes being, is part of what gets them in the most trouble. Is they don't think it's, they think, like Chris said, above the law, but they're not susceptible to what happens in real life.
Well,
yes,
the rules
it's
don't.
It's never going to happen to me, right?
Well, they think that the rules don't apply to them, right? They get special treatment. I mean, even when you're talking about high school age athletes, they're identified as being special, being stars, and they're treated as such. And they get pampered, they get coddled all the way through. You talk about them going to college, and I'm sure that college coaches cover up things that happen on campuses all the time. And it's one of those things that gradually leads up to an incident like what happened over the past couple of days with DeAndre Baker. After you get away with things for such a long period of time, all of a sudden you find yourself becoming bolder, you find yourself taking more risk, and you end up committing armed robbery and aggravated assault. This didn't just start.
No. Now, I don't know that we thought this was going to happen, but there's a lot of people that didn't have a good feeling about DeAndre Baker. A lot of people.
You got to be real comfortable, Dave, to roll up to a party with people and have a gun and threaten to shoot people and steal money and valuables.
I mean, there's no explanation. But other than he just didn't think it was going to ever come back to bite him. They bet $10 million, though.
Well, which is part of the bigger problem, though. I mean, this is almost, you can't even, I get it. Athletes used to getting away with certain things, but this is, above and beyond. Like, who thinks they can get away with this? Like, you just, 2 days earlier, you lost 70 grand. Now, all of a sudden, you just show up. I mean, you probably know the people, I would imagine. I mean, you're at the party gambling with them a couple days before. I'm sure they know you. Or maybe when you left, you were pissed because you lost 70 grand or the way you lost it. And then you just roll up 2 days later, and no one's going to know it's you. I mean, it's like the Snickers commercial, right, where the guy shows up with a pantyhose on his head.
Yeah,
you can see you can see right through the pantyhose.
Steve, I don't think that's going to work.
They're probably like, DeAndre, is that you? No, it's not DeAndre. Just shut your mouth. Give me your watch. Like, what could possibly have happened during this robbery that would have ever thought you to believe that it was going to be worth your time to go do this?
The only thing I can think of is he didn't think it through, and he, of course, didn't think the repercussions would get to him. That otherwise, what's the explanation?
But how was that possible?
I don't know.
Like,
how
once you rob,
how can we? Look, I don't go to parties and rob them. How can I answer these questions?
Yeah, but even this though, like, once you rob the party and you show, like, once you rob them, right, and then you run out, I'm sure at some point someone in the party goes, you know, once the all clear, go running to see, you know, where the guys, you know, where the guys just went, the cars they just jumped into. The guys, he's in a Lamborghini. Like, you don't know which one of your buddies that was at the party drives a Lamborghini to connect the dots.
Of course you do.
Of course you do. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Let's continue along. Paulie in Newark. Paul, you're next up on 98.7.
Morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
All right.
I'm just kind of baffled by this. You know, life-changing opportunities still won't change a person's mindset to do the right thing. I mean, this is chump change compared, you know, to the contract you had. You know, athletes spend their money on nonsense to begin with anyway. So you take your losses and, you know, I just think based off of the lack of commitment, the lack of, you know, everything that this kid had, I don't see him playing another down of football in the NFL. I think teams stay away from this kid.
This is exactly, it's things like this that make it impossible for fans to ever side with players when it's money that we're talking about.
Asinine decision.
Exactly right. I mean, you just heard that caller. He makes a great point. I mean, you have everything you worked for your entire life, right? All the blood, sweat, and tears, all the sacrifices you made, your family
made,
and everything else.
And you won.
And you won. And now you decide to throw it all away because you felt like losing the 70 grand was enough to go commit armed robbery.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous, Rick. But the one thing I'll say, man, is that this is not reflective of the majority of players in the NFL and professional athletes as a whole. Like, most guys do the right thing. You have a couple of guys that are outliers, and clearly DeAndre Baker is one of them. But most guys that play professional sports don't think that they can get away with armed robbery.
No, you're right. No, listen, but how many times have we tried to incorporate, especially with, you know, what we're dealing with right now, right? Like, observations change from we go right into did it happen in Florida to good stories. Then you go athletes giving back.
Yeah, well, this is the trifecta right now. I mean, this is a did it happen in Florida?
I'll say yes. I'll say and something this like this sounds like Florida. Yeah.
This definitely sounds like Florida.
Yeah. No, but the point being is that all those good stories, you like to hear them, but those aren't the stories that people, I mean, that create.
They're not
salacious. Exactly right. No. And this is, I mean, for, you know, people read the story. Every channel you turn on, people are talking about it. So now it becomes a big story, and you associate DeAndre Baker with, you know, professional athletes, as opposed to focusing on the majority of guys who do the right thing.
Sure. Sure. Can you imagine what Mr. Mara must be thinking this morning?
Oh.
I mean, he must be livid right now. We're living through a pandemic, for God's sake.
He probably did them a favor, though, Dave. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, if you have giant staff down at the Senior Bowl saying this kid is dumb as dirt and, you know, his teammates are chewing him out for being lazy, I mean, what he did was he gave him reason to cut him, and they're going to cut him and get the money back.
It's unbelievable. But I mean, you're Mr. Mara. You shouldn't have to be thinking about this thing right now with everything going on in the world, that this is something you have to be giving your attention to. He must be livid.
I'm sure he is. I mean, you've heard reports this week that the team is trying to find alternative sites for training camp because they don't know whether or not they're going to be able to have training camp at the facility once we get to late July, August. I mean, in dealing with this pandemic, it's a logistics nightmare for NFL teams, especially in states that are still on lockdown. So on top of having to deal with that, if you're Mr. Mara, you now got to deal with a first-round pick from a year ago, having four counts of aggravated assault and four counts of armed robbery? That's what comes across your desk this morning? Come on, man.
Awful. It really is. It's
they got to cut bait. They got to cut bait. I don't see how they have a whole lot of options. If DeAndre Baker did what's being reported and what he's charged with, I don't know how the Giants as an organization could justify keeping him. I don't know how that's possible.
No, he's not good enough to keep. I don't care if you use the first round pick and traded away three draft picks. First of all, he's not good enough to have to deal with the headache that this is going to involve. And second of all, this is not something that you want to have to continue to talk about.
Mm-mm.
Like, you cut ties, it's over. You know, we don't talk about players that aren't on the Giants, and you'll be done with it. I mean, the bigger issue for ownership now is you're on the record saying that your GM has to increase his batting average, which just doesn't do. And then, you know, he's trying to sell to you, I would imagine, because John Mara is involved in making these draft decisions, is that, you know, we're focused on culture, right? We want good people in the building. Okay, if I'm John Mara, I'm saying, well, let's take a step back here. We're going to trade three picks to move back up to take a guy who has red flags all over the place. I mean, and biggest of the red flags are, you know, he's lazy. I mean, he's entitled. Doesn't seem like a great culture guy. So, I mean, wouldn't you imagine that in the war room, Dave Gettleman has to be going to bat for DeAndre Baker?
Of course.
Oh, of course he has to be, yeah.
So this
and
makes
he
him
traded
look, I mean,
up to get
works.
Him, Rick.
Oh, yeah. I know. You don't have to tell me.
Well, I just think that this puts even more pressure on Dave Gettleman coming into the season. Like, at this point, they're not going to get rid of him. He's going to be the general manager throughout the regular season, whatever regular season that we have.
You say that, but I mean, this is very Jetsy, Chris.
They're not
this is
very Rick,
Jetsy.
Rick, they're not gonna fire him.
This
kept,
is Jets playbook.
This if they
Jets
kept playbook. Him this long, they're not going to fire him. He is going to be the general manager of this team throughout the offseason, especially with everything that we're dealing with. Could you imagine on top
Mike
of
McKagan?
Could you imagine
it?
On top of a pandemic having to worry about searching for a new general manager?
They're not going to fire him.
They're not going to fire him. Like, if they were going to do that, that would have happened right after the end of last year. So the fact that he's still the general manager, they'll give him until the end of the upcoming season. But depending on how this Giants team does, is going to determine, you know, whether he's going to be the GM in 2021 and moving forward. All I'm saying is this puts even more pressure on him to perform and this team to do well.
Look, an awful look. Jordan Renan is going to join us in a moment.
Very Jetsy.
Stop it. He just tweeted. Stop.
Very Jetsy. You had the Robbie Anderson issue. We had the guy driving drunk the wrong way in the tunnel.
G-I-A-N-G-S.
You let Mike McKagan spend the money, make the draft picks.
Jets.
They're not going to fire him now.
They're
not
going to
fire him
now.
You might want it, but it's not going to happen. Jordan Renan just tweeted, as of around 10 o'clock this morning, neither DeAndre Baker nor Quentin Dunbar had turned themselves in or been arrested at this point, according to Miramar Police Department. There are arrest warrants out for both men. Santiago, you really are. You really are a piece of work.
That is a gem, though, Dave. I mean, even you got to smile at that one.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not somewhat clever, but you're just a bad guy. I mean, clearly this is not an easy day in Giants Nation, and you come back with that. Just a bad guy. You have nothing to say, right?
He's the NFC East troll. That's who he is.
You listen, really are.
Listen, he's innocent until proven guilty. We have a court of law. We have a system that'll do its job.
Yeah. Sounds like he's going to get out of this with the no issue. All right, let's bring him in. Jordan Renan covers the Giants for us on 98.7 ESPN on ESPN.com, on ESPN television. Jordan, I can't believe we're sitting here having this conversation with you right now on a Friday morning.
Yeah, it wasn't what I was expecting last night when I got a few text messages. I was like, huh? And then I was like, you know, you don't really expect this now. The Giants, there were some things with DeAndre Baker that were concerning his rookie year, but that doesn't mean you expected this. I mean, this is completely next level. You didn't expect something to the severity of what he's facing right now. I mean, you're talking about serious jail time. I mean, there's no way around it. If any of these allegations are true, I mean, armed robbery, four counts of aggravated assault with a firearm, and really one of the most disconcerting things when you read the whole warrant is that there's multiple people saying that DeAndre Baker told a man wearing a red mask to shoot someone as they entered the room at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Listen, you don't expect something like this, but if the overwhelming thought of DeAndre Baker inside that building is he's dumb as dirt. I mean, this is the definition as dumb as dirt. Like to think that this is something that you should participate in. So what are the Jordan? I mean, big question now is, you know, what do the Giants do here moving forward?
By the way, that's not a quote that I would use or that I actually had heard from anyone. So I will say that the dumb as dirt. That's not something that. Look, I dug a lot into DeAndre Baker last year because there was things that kept popping up. And to be honest with you, dumb is not one of them that came up.
Oh, it was reported today. I mean, that was a quote in the Post this morning. that someone that Tony Pauline down at the Senior Bowl was told by someone with the Giants that DeAndre Baker was dumb as dirt. I'm just telling you what's in the paper.
That's not a quote that I received.
Okay, fine. Listen. But I mean, the fact that he just did what he did would kind of speak to being pretty dumb. So what do the Giants do now moving forward with DeAndre Baker?
I mean, they could just let this play out legally, right? Because if there's any truth or shred of truth to it, he's not going to be playing football for anyone. He won't be on their roster. He'll be in prison. So I think for the Giants, you sit back right now and you let the legal process play out. There's an arrest warrant out for his arrest right now. As I said, he faces 8 charges. They speak for themselves, the severity of them. The Giants did say they have been in contact with him, and that was yesterday, probably around, 8 o'clock. They had said they had been in contact with him. So they have obviously spoken to him at some point earlier yesterday as they became aware of the situation. So I think they're going to sit back and monitor it right now, and you let the legal process play itself out. And if they look and they look into it and they find even a sliver of this being true, then obviously he won't be on their roster very long, right? I mean, if he pulled a gun and robbed people at a party with witnesses, I don't know how many, but it was considered a party. So there's obviously, this isn't just one person saying it happened, right? This is a whole group of people saying it happened. Then he won't be on any roster. He will be cut, and he will be in serious legal problems.
Jordan, I guess I got a two-part question then. Do we know if DeAndre Baker is still at large? And if he is, are the Giants involved in trying to negotiate his surrender?
Yeah, what I do know right now is that the Giants have spoken to him, and I don't know exactly what those conversations entail. I do know that as of about 10 o'clock this morning, he was still at large, so was Quentin Dunbar. He had not been arrested, and he had not been turned himself in at that point. So that's all we know right now. He is aware, obviously, if he talked to the Giants, and the police have made it pretty well known, that he's wanted and that these charges are out there, and we'll see how this progresses. But I think it's pretty safe to assume that they're preparing to move forward and have him turn himself in at some point, but we don't really know that definitively.
Jordan Renan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You said the Giants will just kind of take, or in your mind, will take a sit back and wait and see what happens approach. There's legitimate talent still out there on the open market. Do you think there's any chance the Giants are proactive, assuming that the worst will happen and sign someone in his stead? Or do you think they're going to wait, do nothing until they have a definitive answer here?
I think that they might actually. Look, they're pretty thin at cornerback anyway, right? I mean, even with DeAndre Baker there, the reality was, what did they have at cornerback? They had James Bradbury, who they signed as a free agent, who we know is a real player in this league. And a lot of question marks, a lot of young guys. I mean, you're talking about Sam Beal. Do we know that Sam Beal could play yet? Are we at that point? I don't think so. DeAndre Baker, he played poorly last year. We didn't know if he could play really as a significant starter in this league. They drafted Darnay Holmes in the fourth round this year. We still haven't seen him play. So they have a lot of questions at that position. I mean, Grant Haley, that even beforehand, I was told that they were going to look in, that they were looking at guys, like Logan Ryan. They weren't certainly near the top of the list, but they were definitely monitoring it. So if they were monitoring it then, when they considered DeAndre Baker probably the front runner to be their starter, and now that is obviously severely in jeopardy, if not completely out the window, then yeah, I would expect them to start seriously looking at other alternatives at cornerback, whether it be Logan Ryan or further down that list of other guys that might be available.
Jordan Renan joins us on the show. Jordan, how much extra pressure does this put on Dave Gettleman now?
Yeah, I mean, look, this has to put pressure on him. I mean, there already was this from day one. Let me just tell you the backstory of this. So last year, I had heard stuff before the draft that DeAndre Baker, at times, first of all, the people in Georgia didn't speak that highly of him, the coaches down there, right? This was kind of out there and known. And then you heard from people he he wasn't showing up regularly to his own pre-draft workouts. Okay, so I had heard this, and I had heard it from multiple people at this point, and it's probably like a few weeks, a month before the draft. So I asked a couple people that I'm friendly with different teams, you know, is this guy flagged, blah, blah, blah. You know, do you have concerns about him? And I was told yes. There were several teams that did basically have him flagged. And then I was having a conversation with someone in the Giants organization later on, you know, a few weeks before the draft. And we were just going over some players, and I was telling them, you know, what I had heard on some guys and back and forth. And one of them was DeAndre Baker. And I said, yeah, I heard a bunch of teams have him flagged. And what they said back to me was, oh, I didn't hear anything about that. Our department said everything's fine. So, you know, this now sits on Dave Gettleman's shoulders, right? He's in charge of this whole draft, you know, the whole draft process. He's the man in charge of making the decision. And not only did they drafted this guy who other teams definitely had concerns about, but they traded up to draft him, right? They were about to pick, what, sixth in the second round? And they moved up to number 30 mm-hmm. just because they liked him that much that they didn't even want to wait. What is that eight-pick stretch? That they didn't even want to risk waiting eight picks. Now, there was obviously risk that came with DeAndre Baker. That's why DeAndre Baker was there with the 30th pick in the first place. So, yeah, this definitely is going to – this is going to be, you know, something the Giants look at and say, hey, Dave, you know, what do we do here? And nothing that happened last year – alleviated their concerns. I mean, there was plenty of things throughout the year. There was this effort on a Demaryius Thomas catch. He was called out in front of the entire team at one point. I believe it was Pat Shurmur who they basically showed tape of him in front of the whole entire team, and they ripped him a new one because his effort wasn't there. There were times where it's pretty well known that he was sleeping in meetings from people I talked to. He had to stand up at some point. You know, they had to keep him up in meetings. They made him stand up. And so you put all these things together, his attitude, it really started wearing on the veterans, and I had kept hearing about it over and over about how his attitude wasn't what they were looking for and what they expected. And, yeah, so you got to look at it and say, we drafted this guy. There's obviously things here. What were we doing throughout the process that we didn't recognize this beforehand? And then that falls on Gettleman's shoulders.
Jordan, I want to shift gears and talk about guys that are actually going to be on the field for the Giants this upcoming season. Joe Judge made some headlines earlier this week, and he said that the Giants are going to be running a completely new offense. It's going to be nothing like what they saw under Pat Shurmur. It's going to be more like what we saw from Jason Garrett-led Dallas Cowboys offenses. So I want to ask you, do we have any insight into the initial thoughts from Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley about the offense they're going to be running?
Yeah, they really wouldn't get into too much detail of, like, what they see. I mean, from what I've been told, here's what you could expect from the running game. You could expect a lot more pulling linemen, right? A lot more getting out into space. And I went and looked up the numbers, and Ezekiel Elliott, and I looked at Ezekiel Elliott compared to, you know, Saquon Barkley the past 2 years, and because Saquon's been in the league 2 years. So they were very close in regards to runs, whether it's, you know, inside, right, that considers the guards and at the center.
Yeah.
They were within, like, 17 carries there. But on as regards to getting outside and runs outside the tackle, Zeke had, like, 120 more carries outside. So, and I think that's something that you're going to see a lot with Saquon, and I think that intrigues him because if you can get him out into space with that size and speed, that's where he can do the most damage. And if they could do that, whether it be on screens, on outside zone runs, and get him moving, I think that'll benefit the Giants greatly. And what Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley said was that what excites us about this offense is that we've seen the success that it's had and that those players have had, meaning, you know, the Tony Romos, Dak Prescott, and Ezekiel Elliott. And say what you want about Jason Garrett. You look at the numbers in regards to yards per play. In his 13 years in Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys have been top half of the league in yards per play in 12 of those 13 seasons. So I think that they look at this as he's had success, and we are excited about the possibility of basically playing the roles of those guys I've just named, the Ezekiel Elliott's of the world.
All right, Jordan. Well, listen, I wish it was better circumstances we had this conversation, but as always, we appreciate you joining us to break down what's going on with Big Blue. Now, you have a big podcast that's launching today, right?
Yeah, it was obviously taped before the DeAndre Baker thing went down, but talked to Mike Clay. I don't know if you know Mike Clay.
Oh, I know Mike Clay, yeah. Big fantasy
Mike
guy.
Mike Clay does these awesome projections every year where he basically puts every player in the league into his formula and his algorithm and comes out and produces projections, and it's always a fun thing to look at and exercise. So,
all right,
so Big Blue, go look for
Breaking Big Blue. We'll take a listen to it. Jordan, thanks, man. Stay safe.
All right, guys. Stay safe. Speak soon.
All right. That of course, is Jordan Renan, who's giving us the breakdown of where we are with DeAndre Baker, which is just an unbelievable story to be covering here on a Friday morning. Now, today on ESPN Daily, before the Bulls won their 98th title, they won a grueling series against the Indiana Pacers. Jalen Rose recalls going up against Jordan in that series and why he sees MJ as the greatest. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. And right now, we go to Andy in Merrick. It is time for your trivia questions of the day. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Dave. I'd ask you how you're doing, but I have a feeling I know the answer.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. Unbelievable.
You know, according to Pro Football Focus, DeAndre Baker actually had a phenomenal last six games of the season, so this just becomes a total waste. Nonetheless, we move on. 99, you ready for your questions?
I'm ready, Andy, but I just want to remind you that it's Friday, and I would like for you to send me into my weekend feeling good about myself.
There's no chance, CeCe, because you crushed it all week.
Oh. Okay. Have you had the perfect week, Chris?
I don't know about all that, but I've been feeling good about answering my trivia questions all week. I just feel like Andy's about to throw me a curveball, and I'm not excited about it.
In junior high school.
No. We'll go in general here. Over the last four seasons, 2016 through 2019, who leads the NFL in sacks?
Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones is number two.
Ooh.
50. Aaron Donald at 52.
Okay. All right. I missed that one. All right.
Not bad. Good guess, though.
That's pretty crazy, actually. Interior lineman.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
right?
More defensive tackle to do that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Rick. Your question. Who was the first ever player to record 100 points in an NHL season?
Ooh.
First player to record 100 points in a season. How long ago are we looking here, Andy?
Late 60s.
Yeah, he had a Rangers connection, right?
Oh, Dave, don't help him.
I'm asking you a question.
Yes, he had a Rangers connection.
Yeah.
Rangers connection. Okay, hold on. Time out. Rangers connection. I have somebody in mind. I'm not sure if it's going to be the guy or not. Is this former player still involved in any way in the NHL?
I'm not sure. He's pretty up there in age at this point.
Pretty up there in age. The guy I'm thinking about is 100%. I mean, makes me jealous too. Has to be in the Italian American.
Oh yeah.
And he still is involved. Likes to have a cocktail during the games. So I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Phil Esposito.
You got it. Actually, Gordie Howe and Bobby Hull both hit 100 that same year, but Espo was the first. Nice. All right, way to go into the weekend, Rico. Dave.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes.
In the movie Grease.
Oh, come on.
Wait a second now. The top three strikeout leaders in Major League Baseball history are all left-handed. Reggie Jackson, Jim Thome, Adam Dunn. Can you tell me who is the all-time right-handed whiff king?
Oh, Giancarlo Stanton.
All right.
that's even less funny today than it normally is.
Very, very Jetsy, Dave. Very, very Jetsy.
I don't know that I know this. So it's obviously a guy that played for a long, long time.
And relatively recently, a strikeout has become more prevalent over the years.
It's not. I mean,
would you say he has a strange appearance now?
Oh, boy, here we go. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would think that's an accurate description.
That would probably take A-Rod off the...
A-Rod's handsome.
Very, very handsome.
Come on,
I would
Dave.
Say that baseball's been very, very good to him.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go with Sammy Sosa.
And you would be correct. Fantastic job, guys. Stay healthy. Have a good weekend.
All right, lovely. Lovely, lovely. We did a very nice job there.
You guys did a very nice job.
You were right there.
Thought Andy
yeah,
was
close.
Going. Felt like Andy should have gave me a soft toss, man. It's Friday. What are we doing?
Yeah, but in Andy's defense, I mean, he was all for blood, clearly,
yes.
Because you've been doing good. But, I mean, he did at least give you a question, I mean, related to what you did for a living. So, I mean,
That's true. But, I mean, it's so hard to know who led the NFL in sacks over the last 4 years.
But you were right there.
I mean, it was a guess, Dave.
Great guess.
I like to be right, though. Guess. I wasn't right. I was wrong.
Yeah. Listen, I can't defend you. Weren't right.
If you're not first, you're last. Ricky Bobby. I mean, what? You know, I don't feel good about it.
All right. Well, you know what? He'll be back Monday, and so will we, and you'll rebound, and maybe you'll have the perfect
week.
Yeah,
but I got to stew on it for the next 2 days, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll find things to do that make you feel better.
You're damn right.
The Golden Girls is on. The Golden Girls Marathon this weekend.
You know the first thing that came to my mind when Canty mentioned that he was watching the Golden Girls,
Blanche.
was Greeny down, covering Michael Jordan, living in a house with a bunch of 87-year-old women.
Thank you for being. Love that show.
Yeah, all right, I've heard that song more than I want to the last couple of days.
I do love that song though. Yeah.
It's a good show. The only misstep you guys had was like making that prime viewing, sitting down, just planning to watch it. If you stumbled upon an episode of The Golden Girls at 11:30 at night, no one would make fun of you for watching that.
Yeah, Dave, you say that like I had a choice in the matter, though.
No, I know you were.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
I didn't have
a
choice.
That was not your decision.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to have the TV to watch sports this weekend, then I had to be able to give up my prime time viewing during the course of the week.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
I understand. Took the little hit on during the week.
But you're saying it's a misstep by me, and I'm like, I have no choice in the matter.
No, I didn't say by you. I said the only misstep there is that you guys happened to watch it during prime viewing hours, where you could have watched a show, like a good show.
Yeah, Dave, it wasn't my choice. I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah.
No, I understand. DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.